السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين. My dear brothers and sisters, tonight we discuss an important subject, a subject that many people ask about, and that is, what is the fate of the Jews, the Christians, the non-Muslims in general? What is their fate on the Day of Judgment? Where do they go? Why this question is very important? Because we have to know the answer and they have to know the answer. We the Muslims live as a minority in countries where the vast majority of the people of these countries are non-Muslims. They don't even know about Islam. And many of them are our friends. They are our neighbors, co-workers. We meet with them, we work with them, we live with them. So where do they go? If they ask you one day, what do you think? What does your book say about me? Do I receive salvation on the Day of Judgment? Would God embrace me with His forgiveness, with His mercy, with His salvation, or I would go somewhere else, different from the place you go to? What would the answer be? Did God create paradise only for a small number of people? This vast paradise is created only, according to some scholars, they say even not for every Muslim. The paradise, God created it only for a small number of the Muslims, only them, but not others. Is this true? What does the Holy Quran say? This question is very pertinent and very important, and we really need to reflect upon it and have an answer ready. Of course, this would affect the view of the non-Muslims toward Islam. They would really examine to see whether Islam is really a religion of mercy and compassion and forgiveness or not. Paradise is only reserved for the followers of Islam. So it will make a huge difference when they know the answer. It does. Now, there are two opinions. The first opinion is the opinion of the classical and traditional theologians, scholars, jurists, exegists of the Quran, mufassirin, transmitters of hadith, who always believe that paradise is reserved only for the Muslims. Non-Muslims are not going to be there, are not going to be admitted, are not even going to pass by it. And that is the view of many scholars. I don't know exactly what is the percentage, but many of them. This is how they subscribe to this view. Among them, let me give you an example. Among them is one of the major, most important mufassir, exegist of the Quran, which is Al-Fakhr al-Razi, Muhammad ibn Umar al-Razi, which is known as Al-Fakhr al-Razi or Ibn al-Khatib, which has written the most famous, probably this is the second most famous tafsir in the Sunni tradition after tafsir of Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari. 600 years later after Tabari, al-Razi, Muhammad ibn Umar al-Razi, Fakhruddin al-Razi, wrote his book مفاتيح الغيب. Very famous, very extensive work. When he comes to, by the way, we have two Razis. We have Muhammad ibn Umar, Fakhruddin al-Razi, and we have Hussein ibn Ali, Jamaluddin al-Razi. There are two different people. Hussein ibn Ali, Jamaluddin al-Razi, and both, by the way, both are Persians. And both from the city of Ray, which is Tehran today. The first one is Hussein ibn Ali, Jamaluddin al-Razi, Abu al-Futuh al-Razi, who died 54 years before Fakhr al-Razi, and who also was one of the transmitters of hadith, muhaddith and mufassir, in the Shia 12-er imami tradition. And he wrote his book. His book is Rauhul Jinan wa Ruhul Janan. Rauhul Jinan, the fragrance of paradise, and the spirit of the heart. And his tafsir is written in Farsi, because he said there is a need at that time, in that part of the world, in Iran and the surrounding countries, because their language was Farsi. So he said there is a need to introduce the Holy Quran to those people with their native language. So he wrote a very good, excellent work, a tafsir, which, by the way, Al-Fakhr al-Razi, who wrote Mafatih al-Ghayb, this book, Al-Tafsir al-Kabir, he took much of his information from Abu al-Futuh al-Razi. But the difference is that Abu al-Futuh wrote his book in Farsi, whereas Al-Fakhr al-Razi wrote his work in Arabic. So they are two different people. Fakhr al-Razi, he is Tabaristani from the province of Mazandaran. And his father moved to Ray. He was born in the city of Ray, and he died in year 606, and he is buried in Herat, Afghanistan. Whereas Abu al-Futuh al-Razi, he's the descendant of the Sahabi Nafi ibn Badil. They were in Medina al-Munawwara. His family moved to Naysabur, Biladu Faris. And then his father moved back to the city of Ray. And he's buried in Ray too. And as I said, he's half a century before Fakhruddin al-Razi. So Fakhruddin al-Razi was Ash'arite. He considered himself to be, when it comes to theology and philosophy, he took the side of the Ash'arite, and he considered also himself to be Shafi'i. Fakhr al-Razi, when he comes to the Jews and the Christians and the non-Muslims, he said, God said, do not befriend them. You are not even allowed to be their friends. By the way, there is a conversation, a debate, and that is whether Al-Fakhr al-Razi, did he finish his tafsir, this book, or not? At-Tafsir al-Kabir, did he finish it, or he died before he finished it? There is a debate. Some scholars believe that he could not finish it. Therefore, some of his students and some of his disciples came after him, and they finished the work. So it was not completely his work. Why they say this? Because when you read his book, in part of it, he uses diatribe. He's polemic. He uses harsh language. For instance, when it comes to the Shias, he calls them Al-Rawafidh La'anahum Allah. Rawafidh, that God curses them. They say this language does not suit a scholar like Al-Fakhr al-Razi, because he loved Ahlul Bayt, and therefore he would not speak about the followers of Ahlul Bayt with this harsh and very inappropriate language. Therefore, it could be some of those who wrote the tafsir for him, the scribers or the scribes, or some of his, you know, students who came after him. So when he comes to chapter 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 51, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى أَوْلِيَاءَ. O who you believe, don't take the Jews and the Christians as awliya. Awliya, my friend, has, or my friends, has two meanings. It has more than two meanings, but the main two meanings of this term are the following. Number one, wali means a guardian, a leader, a protector, an authority over you. Wali, which is used in the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second meaning of wali is an ally, a friend. So Fakhr al-Razi here comes and translates this verse, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء, as friends. Don't take them as allies and friends, not guardians. Meaning that you are not allowed to befriend the non-Muslims, let alone to believe that they're going to go to paradise. You are not even allowed to befriend them. This is his opinion. Why he said this? And this is 800 years ago, because he died 606, and now it's 1441, more than 800 years ago. Why did he say this? He said this because at that time there is much polarization between Muslims and non-Muslims. And they divided the whole globe into two sections, Darul Islam and Darul Harb. And they were most of the time they were at war with each other. Most of the time. There was a war between Muslims and non-Muslims. Mainly Muslims versus Christians, or Muslims versus pagans. So because of this view of the non-Muslims, that they are, if they are not us, they are against us, he came up with this tafsir, with this translation. He chose to say this, that don't take Jews and Christians as friends and allies, because presumably they are enemies, so you can't take them as friends and allies. Besides, he didn't live in the West. He did not live in a society where the majority were non-Muslims. He didn't experience this. And also there is another reason, theological reason, because the verses after that in 555, four verses after that, 555, God says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Referring to Imam Ali, most of the commentators, including him, say that this verse came about Imam Ali, the one who gave his ring while he was bowing was Imam Ali. So he's trying to say Imam Ali is a friend. Take him as a friend, an ally. Don't take him as a guardian or an imam. It has a political connotation for him. So he comes here, this is volume 4. This is his tafsir, At-Tafsir al-Kabir al-Imam al-Fakhr al-Razi. Okay, he says here in page 384, he says, بَلِ الْمُرَادِ لَا تَتَّخِذُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَحْبَابًا وَأَنصَارًا. Do not take the Jews and the Christians as friends and allies and supporters. وَلَا تُخَالِطُوهُمْ. Don't interact with them. Neither, وَلَا تُعَاضِدُوهُمْ. Neither seek help from them. مُعَاوَدَ means when you support each other, when you help each other. So you are not allowed. This is his opinion. But this opinion does not work. At least nowadays it doesn't work. Because your neighbors could be very good Christians, very good Jews, very good non-Muslims, very good other religions. What do you do with this? What do you tell them? If some of them have good spirit, sound character, they are honest, okay? They are very thoughtful. They are very helping, as we see with many of them, many of them. They sacrifice, they donate, they give, they help. So what does God do with them? Majority of the scholars, they say, if they are not Muslims, they have no place in paradise. And then they come to the Quran and they use chapter 3, verse 85, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. They use this as an evidence to their allegation, to their assumption. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهِ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whosoever seeks a religion other than Islam, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهِ, it would not be accepted from him, and on the day of judgment, he is one of the losers. Now, Islam here, does it mean this particular religion, Islam, that Prophet Muhammad brought from his Lord? Or Islam means the general Islam, which is submission to God. Even if it means submission to God, still it will mean this religion, Islam. Because God wants you to submit to his will, and part of God's will is to believe in monotheism and believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the messenger of God. So this is the first group. Now we come to something important, the second group. The second group say, one of the most important conscientious maxims in the Quran, in this book, is mentioned in chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra, or Bani Israel, it has two names, verse 15, where God says, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We would not go to punish anyone unless we send a messenger. And the jurist, Muslim theologians and jurists came up with this maxim, this inherent maxim, this maxim which stems from the inner sense. Very true maxim. قُبْحُ الْعِقَابِ بِلَا بَيَانٍ. The inappropriateness of punishment or holding you accountable without notification. God says, if I don't notify you, if I don't send you a messenger, if I don't make you aware, then I would not hold you accountable. Therefore, they say, it's unacceptable from God or of God to send people to hell while they don't know about Islam. They never heard about it. Or their information was not adequate. Unless قامت الحجة عليه, the person has been presented with a proof, with evidence, presented to him, and he understood it very well, and then he chose to reject or deny. In that case, this person will be held accountable. Now, let me clarify something important. Definitely now, the formal religion of God is Islam. We believe in that. I believe in that. If you ask me what is now God's version of religion, what is his most update on religion, the answer is Islam. God says Islam is the final religion and the most comprehensive religion. And this book, the Holy Quran, is the most comprehensive book. This Quran, the Old Testament, the New Testament, other books are embedded in this book. Prophet Muhammad represents the previous prophets. His book represents the previous scriptures. So Islam is the most comprehensive religion. And therefore, one should accept Islam at this time. But we are speaking about people who never heard about Islam. They never heard about it. Here comes the second opinion. Remember the first opinion? The first opinion, the majority of the classical scholars believe that non-Muslims are not going to be sent to paradise. Period. And they use verse 385, chapter 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse 85, to present their case, to prove their case. That God says, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهِ is not going to be accepted of him. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ on the day of judgment, that person who's not a Muslim is going to be one of the losers. We come now to the second group of scholars, and please pay attention to this. The second group of scholars say that we have two types of disbelief, two types, two groups. One group is kufrul juhud. The second is kufrul jahl, and there is a difference between them. First type is kufrul juhud, the disbelief because of rejection, because of denial. The second one, it's a disbelief, he's not a Muslim, but not because of rejection, because of ignorance or being unaware, being untold. He doesn't know about this case. The first one, Kufrul Juhud, is taken from chapter 27, Surah An-Naml, verse 14 in the Holy Quran, where God says, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. God says they rejected religion, the path. They rejected the truth while their inner sense, their souls inside, confessed about it and knew about it. They knew that this is the truth. They knew that the Prophet is speaking on behalf of God. But they rejected him out of what? Zulman. Wrongfully. Out of injustice. Wa'uluwan. Out of haughtiness and arrogance. So this is the first group. The first group could be people who know very well about Islam. They studied Islam. They read books. But they are not accepting it out of a prejudice, out of bias. Some people say, I have no problem with Quran being the book of God, the scripture. I don't have a problem with Muhammad being a messenger of God. He could be right. But I have a problem with Islam being an Arabic religion, the religion of Arab. The language of Islam is Arabic. I have a problem with that. This is racism. This is a prejudice. So he knows the religion is right, but because the religion is written in Arabic, he doesn't accept it. And there are many other reasons for rejecting Islam. Some of them, hubbul dunya. He knows Islam is the right religion, but because of his love, an adoration for this life, he doesn't want to accept Islam. Islam is too much for him. One time someone told me, I know this book is book of God, revealed by God. Muhammad is a legitimate messenger of God. But I really can't commit myself to pray five times a day and fast and, you know, pay charity and don't drink alcohol. My favorite drink is wine. How can I give up on wine? And so on and so forth. So those people are going to be held accountable because they know. They know. They know the truth. But yet they choose to reject. The second group, which is the vast majority of mankind today, vast majority of them, are those who did not accept Islam, not because they have bias, not because they are a prejudice against this religion, but because they don't know. They don't know, period. They did not get the message. And sometimes this jahil is, this unaware person is qasir, meaning that he is incapacitated. He really does not have the means, does not have even the capacity to learn. doesn't have the capacity. Or sometimes he is aware and he knows and he did his research, but he could not reach a result. He's still not convinced. Genuinely, he's still not convinced. He said, I read and I did the research. It didn't make sense. Though many of them, it makes sense to them. But imagine someone who says, yes, I'm a scholar, I'm a researcher, and I did my homework about Islam, but still I didn't find it to be a legitimate religion. Those people are not going to hold them accountable because they did not do it out of stubbornness or obstinacy. Most of the scholars today say the vast majority of the people of earth are jahilun qasir. They are unaware because they are incapacitated. We have jahilun muqassir. He's unaware because he's delinquent. He chose not to go and study. Otherwise, everything was available for him. He chose not to follow. But when someone is qasir, meaning that he really doesn't have the capacity, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. Even if you talk to him. I remember I had a barber when I came to America 27, 26 years ago. I used to go to this barber. He, at that time, he was probably 70 years old or 75 years old. So he would ask me, the moment I sit on the chair, he says, Mustafa, tell me about your Muhammad. Tell me about your book. So I, you know, tell him a few things, you know. What do you tell a barber, you know? Simple things. After half an hour, I speak and I give a whole lecture. He says, praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is his capacity. Would God, you know, hold him accountable for this? I don't think so. He had a good heart. Hard-working person, honest person, loving, caring, you know. God would not hold him accountable. God would not punish those people. God, his mercy embraces everything in this universe. Everything in this universe. Some of the scholars say that the vast majority of the people of earth are unaware about Islam because of their environment. Because of their families, because of their countries, because of their cultures. They didn't get a chance to study Islam. They didn't get a chance. And those of them who really studied Islam, they were willing to accept. Most of them, not all, most of them. Because we are the product of our own culture and our own environment, my friends. My friends, most of the Muslims are Muslims today because they were born Muslims, believe me. Most of the Sunnis are Sunnis today because they were born in a Sunni family. And most of the Shias are Shias because they were born in a Shia family. Most. 99.9%. Because they are born. And most of the Catholic are Catholic today because they were born in a Catholic environment. Most of the Jews are Jews today because they are born in a Jewish environment. Most of the Hindus, most of the Sikh, most of the Baha'is, most of the whatever Buddhist, they are what they are because they are born in that environment. Who takes the time to research about God and religion? Who? What is the percentage? 1%? Less than 1%. People follow their own traditions. Most people inherit religion. It's an inheritance. It's not discovery. Few people discover, few people read and discover and are willing to cross into the other side. Very few people. And the same thing we say about our Sunni brothers and sisters. Many of them, 99.9% of them, they don't know about wilaya. Many of them, they heard negative things about Shia Muslims, negative things. From some of their scholars, some of their books, some of their media, some of their social media, some of their governments. They teach them. I was in Mecca. One year I was in Mecca for Hajj. I asked a boy, Saudi boy from Mecca, maybe 12, 13 years old. I said to him, Did you hear about Shia? He said, yes, I heard about them. They don't believe in God. I said, how come they do? How do you know they don't? He said, because they are Shi'i. Shi'i in Arabic means communist. This is what he thinks. This is what probably what he has been told. I don't know who told him this. But that's the environment. Shi'aphobia, Islamophobia. So God would not hold people accountable because if they don't know. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. Tomorrow Friday, inshallah, I'm going to discuss something else. Those non-Muslims, where they go there on the Day of Judgment? Where is their destination? Do we know anything about their destination? Tonight, we knew that God is not going to punish the non-believers if it was because of ignorance, but if it was because of stubbornness and bias, he will hold them accountable. Tomorrow we're going to know about their destination. Are they rewarded by God or not? And where is the reward? In this life or in the hereafter or in both? This is the subject of tomorrow Friday for the Friday sermon, inshallah. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.